Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Wow, what a journey we have been on. If you've been tracking with us throughout this year, you know that we have been on a journey through the book of Matthew. We've actually been in the book of Matthew now for almost 11 months. Pretty amazing, right? 22 Sundays, 22 weeks, we have been looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And this has been a fascinating journey. If you've been tracking with us and you've been following along, then you know that this year has been a year of contrasts. This whole sermon that Jesus teaches has been a sermon of contrasts. Good treasure versus bad treasure. Good eyes versus bad eyes. Good fruit versus bad fruit. The wide road, the narrow road. So as we get to the conclusion of Jesus' sermon, it's not surprising that in this moment he finishes off with another contrast. And the contrast is between the wise and the foolish. So you ready to look at this with me this morning? So Matthew chapter 7. If you have your Bibles, you can look it up. It'll be on the screen behind me. But Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Jesus says this. He says, therefore, and I want to pause on that word, therefore, because therefore in this statement is an incredibly important word. Therefore, in this statement is a time indicator. Therefore is there for us to understand that Jesus is about to say something really, really important and that we need to kind of pay attention to what it is that he's about to say. If you were with us last week, you know that Pastor Marie spoke on the statement that he makes just before this scripture that we're about to read. And he makes this declarating statement that says that Jesus said that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Essentially, it's a warning. It's a warning. It's a wake-up call. It's like, you need to think about this. No, I think we have a kind of, and you can help me with this morning, but I think we have a kind of love-hate relationship with warnings, right? Yes? Because we need them. We have to have warnings in our lives so we don't get into trouble, and at the same time, they're annoying. Now, if you're joining us online, we live in Pickering, Ontario, and there's a street outside our church called Bailey Street. And every morning, I exit the 401, get onto White's Road, and turn onto Bailey Street. And I don't know about you, but if you drive this road, there's a temptation to want to drive fast on this road, right? Because it's a full open road. It's like, I just want to go. But there's a little warning sign. The warning sign says maximum 60 kilometers an hour. And I've discovered, fortunately through observing other people, sometimes if you don't heed that warning, there is a consequence to driving over the maximum. See, I think we need warnings in our lives because they're reminders. They're there to help us or to prevent us from doing something that we are going to regret or that there's going to be a lasting impact upon our lives. And out of this warning that Jesus gives us, prior to this statement of therefore, there is a sense of urgency that we need to pay attention to. So this morning I brought an hourglass with me. If you've ever seen one of these things, you know that when you flip it over, there's sand. And in this particular case, it will take exactly 1 hour for this sand to go through this hourglass. So I have 1 hour to preach to you this morning before the sand runs out. I want us to keep in mind this morning that there's a time sensitivity to what it is that we are going to be talking about. So let's look at this. Jesus said, therefore, Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rains came. The streams rose. The winds blew and beat against the house. But it did not fall because its foundation is on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Sorry, let me back that up again. The rain came down, streams rose, the wind blew, beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But then Jesus goes on to say this. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. I asked our staff this week, when you think of this parable, how do you interpret it? And I got some pretty good responses. Some of them said, well, you build a good life, or you build a good foundation, or you build a foundation of good morals. And then one of our staff said, don't go through life doing flaky, floppy, fluffy stuff. Flaky, floppy, fluffy stuff. Try saying that really quick in a few times. How we read this scripture is significantly important because it is the conclusion of everything that Jesus has been teaching us, everything that we've been looking at as we have gone through this Sermon on the Mount. Notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say anything about the house or the design of the house or how big the house is. Jesus does not say that the man who builds a two-story backsplit with a walkout basement onto a sandy beach is a foolish man. Jesus doesn't say that. What Jesus does say is that every person has a house to build. And it's a reference to our lives. Everyone has a life to build. And where we build this life determines our destiny, not just for this present life, but for the life to come, eternity. Where we build our life makes all the difference between, here's the contrast, success and failure, life and death, reward and loss, acceptance, rejection, standing and falling. What we establish our lives on matters. In the year of 1174 AD, an Italian architect by the name of Bonanno Pisano began to build a project that probably became his most famous project. You may be familiar with this. It was a freestanding bell tower for the cathedral in the city of Pisa. The tower was to be 8 stories high, 185 feet tall. And as the tower was being completed, the builders began to notice that the tower had a problem. The problem wasn't in the design of the tower. The problem wasn't in the material that was used in the tower. The problem wasn't even in the skill of the builders or the architect. The problem was what was underneath the tower. The builders quickly began to realize that the soil was much softer than they anticipated. They took 178 years to build this tower, and they tried to straighten it as they went along. They tried to reinforce it. They tried to move it back into the right position, and eventually they gave up. And the Leaning Tower of Pisa has never been straight since. What we build our lives on matters. What I love about Jesus in this context of this scripture is that Jesus was a carpenter by trade and by profession. In Hebrew culture, in Jesus' day, young boys would learn the trade of their fathers and eventually take over the business of the family. And this is how Jesus became a carpenter. This is how he began to learn how to build. And carpenters not only just worked with wood, but they worked with stone. And so Jesus actually was a craftsman. He knew how to build houses. He knew the building trade. So when Jesus uses this parable to wrap up his sermon, I think it comes out of his experience with carpentry. Because Jesus understood some things. He understood that if we're going to build a house, we have to have a plan. We have to hear instruction and understand, because it's crucial to be able to understand what it is, to hear and understand what it is, the plan, or what the plan is for your life. Jesus also understood that choosing the right location to build is crucial because it determines the future of the house. Jesus also understood that counting the cost is vital, because if we don't count the cost, if we don't look at what this is going to cost us, then we may find ourselves in a really difficult place. And so this parable that Jesus gives us is a parable about three things, and we're going to look at them this morning. It's a parable about choices, it's a parable about obedience, and it's a parable about time. So let's look at the choices we make. You know, we live in a culture, and I'm sure you can identify with this. So we live in a culture that is defined by anxiety, defined by toxic habits. Choices that we make that put us in difficult situations. Choices are really about direction, because the choices that we make lead us somewhere. Choices have consequences. The consequences can be good or bad, but they will direct our future. So choices matter. Just looking in the news this week, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but just watching CTV News this week, I think, and because I was conscious of what I was speaking on today, I noticed that at least every day, at least six issues or six stories that came up in the news that had to do with pain, death, fear, and anxiety, all out of choices made, poor choices made by people. And when we talk about choices, I understand that when we are faced with making a decision, there's not always a clear right and wrong or black and white response. But if we look at the words of Jesus and go back to the beginning of his sermon, and if you need to, go to pbclife.ca. All the sermons of this year are on our website. Take a look and look at each one of these topics that Jesus taught us. But if you go back into that sermon at the very beginning, the choices that we make, we can make choices that will lead us in the right direction. Jesus helped us to understand this. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. God blesses those who are humble. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice and righteousness. God blesses those who are merciful. God blesses those whose hearts are pure. God blesses those who work for peace. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing what is right. These are decisions that we can make and apply into our lives to give us direction and to give us purpose. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Don't be misled, because you cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what it is that you plant." This is a time factor statement. If you've ever planted a garden, you know that it takes time, but by the time the plant goes into the ground to the time you're able to harvest from that plant, there's time. If you plant tomatoes, it'll take about 3 months to harvest tomatoes. If you plant a fruit tree, it'll take about 5 years to harvest fruit from your tree. We all understand that if I plant a pine tree, I shouldn't expect to harvest apples. And yet we kind of live in a society that makes us think that we can make decisions, and we could actually make poor decisions, and somewhere down the road, everything is going to be okay. Somehow it's all going to come out in the wash. There's an author by the name of John Stott. He puts it this way: if a man is faithful and conscientious in his sowing, then he can confidently expect a good harvest. If he sows wild oats, as we sometimes say, then he must not expect to reap strawberries. Job chapter 4 points out that those who plow iniquity, sow trouble, will reap the same. The prophet Hosea warned his contemporaries that if you sow the wind, you will reap a whirlwind of divine judgment. Somehow, we need to move away from this cultural belief that says that how we live and how we live based on how we feel is going to be okay, that we can sow our wild oats and somehow in the future, everything is going to be okay. That's a lie from Satan. To be able to say that I can make bad decisions, but somehow in my future, everything is going to be good. That I can do whatever I want now because I've got time to make it right. Galatians chapter 6 goes on to say this. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death. So our choices matter. The decisions that we make matter. Goes on to say that we will harvest decay and death from sinful nature, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. By the power of God living in us, if we don't purposefully make good choices, by default, the opposite is going to happen. If Jesus understood following instruction was crucial to building a good life, then how do we apply that to our everyday? Jesus gave us the answer throughout this sermon as we looked at it, that truth teaches us a better way. It teaches us the right way. The choice is the path of abundant life and full of grace and mercy. See, Jesus pointed out that the forces at work in this world are vying for our attention, but God wants your attention. God wants you to choose his way. We were created with desires. We were created for purpose, and we want purpose, and we want love. And God is not put off by any of those needs and desires that we have. But he wants us to come to him to find fulfillment in that. He has created us with his great love and desires to lavish on us love and purpose and fulfillment. God will never force himself upon you, though. It's a choice that we have to make. We have to choose to follow the path in the words of Christ. Choices matter. So if Jesus knew that making right choices was crucial, then it makes sense that in this purpose of contrast, that this story of contrast, that it now becomes a story of an obedient builder and a disobedient builder. Jesus declares this in verse 24, that everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. This is why this parable is about obedience, because he is making a statement. He is making the statement, everyone who hears my words and puts them into practice. You see, obedience is a sign of true faith. Webster's dictionary defines obedience as being under control of an authority. Under control in our choices and our behaviors to authority. In Jesus' case, this is not forced obedience. As the parable describes, what we build our lives on is still our choice. Hearing the words of Jesus and putting them into practice, it is still our choice. But here's what James chapter 1, verse 22 says. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do as it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. You see, the rock, the foundation, is Jesus' words. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it. You know, Jesus says this twice in this statement. Do you notice that? The reason he is saying this twice is that he's reinforcing or emphasizing the authority of these words. You see, we can repeat Jesus' words. We can text them. We can post them on social media. We can even tattoo them on our body. But unless we put them into practice, we are simply building a structure that has no sustainability, no security. Sometimes we view obedience as punishment. In our culture, the cultural definition of freedom, and I looked this up this week, the cultural definition of freedom is the absence of authority. What an interesting thought. The absence of authority. That you are able to freely make whatever decisions you want to make to do whatever it is that you want to do without any consequence to come with it. The absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint to any action. What Jesus said is the opposite of this. It's actually countercultural. If culture says that freedom is the absence of authority, Jesus is actually saying that freedom is being under authority. In this church, we are under authority. We are under the authority of Pastor Marie. The Bible teaches us that God
God is our shepherd, but that he gives us under shepherds to lead us and to guide us. It's the structure of the church. So God has given us, Pastor Marie, she is the authority that God has placed over us, the spiritual authority to guide us, and we are under that authority. I am under her authority. You are under her authority. You see, Jesus understands that freedom is being under authority. It's not a punishment. It's in order for us to be able to live out the purposes to which God has called us. Jesus said, hearing these words of mine and putting them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, that when the rains came and the streams rose and the wind blew, the house did not collapse. See, the absence of authority is really chaos. And what Jesus isn't saying is that all authority is good. He's not saying that every authority that we encounter is good. Sometimes we have governments or people in leadership positions that we may not agree with. But God doesn't say that we rebel against that authority. He says that we are to pray for that authority and still come under authority. Because the absence of authority is chaos. And so what he is saying is that he is saying that if you take the authority of his word and you build on it, now you have found a foundation worth building on. It's a rock that will sustain you in your worst moments of life. It's a joy that you will experience in the midst of some of the best moments of your life. And so there's obedience. But now there's timing. And this parable is all about timing. Notice that Jesus talks about the storm coming, but what he doesn't say if a storm will come. He doesn't say, build your house on this and maybe a storm will come. He doesn't say if you build your house in a certain way that there's a possibility that a hurricane may come, so, you know, get ready for it. He doesn't say that. What Jesus says is that when the rains and the flood and the winds come and beat against the house. See, it's a time factor. It's a time factor. What Jesus is saying is that there's a storm coming. There's a storm that is going to come against you. There's a storm that's going to begin to attack you. And where you have built your life matters. What you have built your life on matters. Look at the two things that he tells us. He tells us wind. You ever notice how bad wind is? We had a storm warning this week, a windstorm warning. Did you notice that? I walked out into the parking lot. It blew me halfway across the parking lot before I could catch my feet. I think there's a wind tunnel out there or something. Wind. Everything comes at you at once. And if you've ever been in a windstorm, you know that's overwhelming, the feeling of being out of control. Sometimes, and I've been in a hurricane, sometimes there's this feeling of confusion and fear and anxiety. You see, that wind is all about turmoil. It creates turmoil. It causes things to move that ought not to move. It's a disturbance. It creates confusion. You can't control it. The wind comes. It's not like you can close the door or put something up to block it. When the wind comes and it creates turmoil. But what the Bible tells us about this, that when we are in the midst of a storm, when the wind is blowing and there's turmoil, this is what the Bible teaches us, that God is with us in every situation. He is with us right here, right now, in whatever moment it is that you might be in, God is with you. We can trust his guidance, his sovereignty over every situation. But we need to pause and we need to look at ourselves. Do we want to experience true peace in the midst of the storm? Do we want it? Do we want the confidence of knowing that God's word is worth standing on, that we could take the words of Jesus and live by them? Do we want that confidence? Or are we content to be angry, to bear a grudge, to complain, to be cranky or grouchy because we don't like what's going on? Because that's what wind turmoil does to us. It puts us in a place where we no longer can trust anything or anyone around us. But Matthew chapter 7 says this, come to me. Jesus said this. These are his words. Come to me, all you who are weary, heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give is light. This is the promise of Jesus. We can stand on that promise and know that no matter how hard the wind blows, no matter how much chaos comes into our lives, no matter how much turmoil is going on around us, we can stand on this promise that the burdens that God gives us are light. We can trust him if we cast our concerns upon him. But Jesus talks about floods. Floods undermine. You ever notice this in a flood? Flood undermines everything that is not solidly established. Floods come and wash things out. And Jesus says this. It says that when troubles come, it's going to undermine everything that you believe. That's what the image of this flood, the rain coming down and the streams coming up, it's going to undermine you in the midst of whatever it is you're facing. I can speak to this one on a personal level because I have found myself in a situation where everything around me was felt like it was being undermined. Makes you question, is God real? Is God, does God care? Is my life worth it? Why am I doing this? Is there really a heaven? Is there really a hell? And all of this stuff, when the world just begins to come at us, when the storm is blowing at us, it will cause us to begin to question. And if we are not established on a firm foundation, it will undermine us like sand simply being washed away in the water and the rain. It's a time factor. It's a time factor that maybe not yet, but there's a storm coming. It's a warning. Jesus is serious. He has spent all this time teaching us of how we can live our lives and how we can establish our lives. But at the very end of this sermon, he comes to this point and he says, listen, there's a storm coming. Are you ready for it? Have you built your life on a solid foundation of his word, or have you ignored it and took the easy route to do whatever you feel that you want to do? So here's where we are this morning. Our worship team's going to come, and they're going to lead us in a song. As they lead us in this song, I want you to ask yourself a question. And I know you're going to say, this seems like an easy, simple question. But I really want you to pause. Even I had to do this week. Where are you in your relationship with Christ? Where are you in hearing the words of Jesus and applying them to your life? Because what Jesus is actually saying in all of this, it's the conclusion of his sermon. It's a call to re-examine our hearts. The wise man who builds on the rock, or the foolish man who builds on sand. Will we take his words? Will we build on them and live by them? Or will we choose to let the wind blow us and the flood to undermine us so that we find our lives destroyed? It's a call to re-examine. So will you do this with me? Let me pray. Father God, I pray that as we sing this song, that God, you would cause us to have a moment. That God, if we have drifted away, God, if our thoughts have been elsewhere, if we've been distracted, if we have not been listening to your word, God, if we have not taken your word to heart and applied it to our lives, God, if we are building a life that is not based on your word, that's in that sandy space that can so easily be destroyed when the storms come, then God, I pray that you would lead us back into a place, surrender our hearts to you, repenting to you, and letting you lead us and letting you guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.